Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. From the author of House Arrest and On Hurricane Island comes a new activist novel. We'll talk about what that phrase means in a second. That begs the question, how far is too far? Tells the story of Jeremy, who was 9 when the vines first wrapped themselves around him and burrowed into his skin. Now a college botany major, Jeremy is desperately looking for a way to listen to the plants and stave off their extinction. But when the grip of the vines becomes too intense and health services starts asking questions, he flees to Brooklyn, where fate puts him face to face with a group of climate justice activists who assure him that they have a plan to save the planet and his plants. As the group readies itself to make a big Earth Day splash, Jeremy soon realizes that these eco-terrorists' devotion to activism might have him, and those closest to him, tangled up in a lot more trouble than he was prepared to face. It's a wonderful story told in the new novel, Kinship of Clover. It is published by Red Hen Press, and it is also written by our dear friend Ellen Maripol, who has been a great friend of the show for a very long time. We've had her on for every novel, and it's a thrill to have her back.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's a thrill to be back.
Well, congratulations. The novel is out. You're going to have your big launch on Wednesday at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and we'll talk and give people details on that in a moment. So what brought you to this particular story and telling us about Jeremy's plight?
It was Jeremy himself, actually. You know, he was 9 years old when I left him at the end of house arrest, and for a while he was silent. And I wrote On Hurricane Island, and that was being published. And then Jeremy started whispering to me, and he started saying, "Hey, don't you want to know what happened to me?" And the thing was, I did want to know. I was curious. And one of the other children in house arrest, Zoe, who was a 5-year-old in that book with spina bifida, was also somebody who started coming back into my mind and making me curious about how she grew up and what she was up to. And Jeremy wouldn't let go. And so I thought about who he was as a 9-year-old and extrapolated and started writing what he might be into as a botany major, still intensely interested in plants and saving the ones that are going extinct.
So this has that question, which is, how do you stay true to those people that you love when you're really trying to change the world and make it a better place? How do you figure that one out?
I wish I knew. That's why I write the book and ask the question. I think that that's an age-old question for all of us who are involved in any kind of activism. How you balance the work of activism with also having a life, with taking care of the people you care about, with supporting yourself. And I think that the book includes characters from different generations who are trying to wrestle with these questions, each in their own way and over decades.
I mentioned in the introduction that the question being how far is too far. And as I was reading the novel, of course, that varies, right? Because your too far could be very different from my too far. And how we put that into perspective, not only as individuals, but as a culture and as a society.
I think that's true. And I think that one of the things that fiction can do is ask those questions, put us in the heads and hearts of characters who have different ideas about the answer to those questions, and invite the reader in to participate in the conversation. What do you want to do to try to save our planet? What's the right kind of activism for you, if this is something that matters to you? And where do you fit in that continuum of levels of activism?
It seems that, obviously, when you look at a book like this, it is, in looking at the promotional material, it says that it's an activist novel. And I was also thinking as I was going over my notes last night that a lot of authors and a lot of books would say, oh, I don't want that label. For God's mm-hmm. sakes, don't tell anybody it's an activist novel. I don't
right.
want don't. Ooh. I'm interested. Well, knowing you, I'm not as surprised that you would embrace that, but I am interested as to why you would embrace that and what you think the benefit is in saying that, yeah, this is a novel that is about that activism.
It's a hard question because, of course, you want your book to be promoted in such a way to appeal to a lot of people. But I also think that things aren't business as usual right now. I feel that not only in terms of the destruction of the planet, but also in terms of the challenges to our culture right now, it's not a good time to shy away from labels like activism. It's a time mm-hmm. to embrace it. It's a time to say, yeah, things are kind of bad and they're at risk now. And each of us, no matter where we fall on the political continuum, does need to occasionally reexamine where we are, what's important to us, and how we want to make our mark on our world. So for me, yeah, I do embrace it. I think it's a time for writers and artists and all of us to be bold in how we think about our culture, our arts, our world, our society, our politics.
Do you know how you think about this issue when you start off writing? Or is it an exploration that you are working it out as you write?
I have no idea when I start a book where it's going. And this honestly started just with Jeremy as this 9-year-old boy. In fact, in House Arrest, there was nothing about vines burrowing into his body. That all came up in the process of writing this story. So I knew that Jeremy was interested in plants, that he liked to draw them more than anything as a 9-year-old. And as I wrote, and I at that point was very interested in climate activism, so I suspected that he might go in that direction, but I didn't know where it would go. And the idea of the plants, the vines, and his body came one day when I was writing at the library in Northampton, and it started happening. And I said, wow, I've never written magical realism kind of stuff before, but this is cool. And it was for me a way into Jeremy's story that felt fresh and different.
Do you read a lot of the fantasy or realism? Or?
I don't. I've read a bit of the Latin American, you know, magical realism stories, 100 Years of Solitude and that kind of thing, and have loved it, but I've never even thought about writing it myself. It just happened.
So there has to be a point, or maybe this is just what I'm making up in my mind, but it seems to me there has to be a point as those vines are burrowing into Jeremy, and you're writing about that, mm-hmm. that you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to a place that I cannot turn back on. I'm making an investment in this.
Yes, yes. But that's the pleasure of writing fiction, is that at least for me, and I know for others who don't have an outline and don't know where we're going, it is an exploration, it's a discovery, and sometimes it takes you places you didn't expect, and sometimes it illuminates things to you that you didn't know or that you hadn't thought about. And that's a real gift as a writer.
I was on stage the other night with a wonderful artist, a postmodernist artist, David Sally, and we were talking about how a current political climate can affect your art. And in that case, we were talking about visual art.
Mm-hmm.
So in your writing of this book, I assume just by the timeline, you're writing this during the campaign.
Oh, way before that.
Way before that.
Yeah. I was writing this book. I mean, I sold it 2 years ago, so I was writing it for the 2 years before that or so.
So does that have, so that brings me right to the question then. Yeah. Would it be a different book if you were writing it today, do you think? And in with the climate, and I mean that just mm-hmm. our society and culture being different than it was, so now 4 years ago when you were writing it.
It probably would be, but I'm not sure I could even guess
how.
I mean, the book I'm working on now, which is also a climate change-focused book, is a very different story. In some ways, a more bold and out there story reflecting the times that we're living in now.
Mm. Is that more troubling to write?
Yes, it is more troubling to write books that are, if you follow them to their logical extreme, have potentially really frightening consequences. The hardest book to write because of that was on Hurricane Island.
Sure.
Which gave me nightmares to write.
We saw this after 9/11, and I'm fascinated to see where we will be in a couple of years when we look at the body of art that is produced during this particular time.
Yeah. Well, there's an enormous amount of writing now that is bubbling up from the political turmoil.
Right.
The Writers Resist programs. It will be very interesting to look back on it.
Absolutely. We want to celebrate your new novel, and we can do so. The Odyssey Bookshop is having an event. It is the launch event on Wednesday, April 5th at 7 o'clock at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And it'll be a beautiful event. They always do beautiful events there.
They do.
Yes.
And my daughter's doing the food, so that'll be great,
too. Well, there you
go.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And Ellen Mirapol, and the new novel is Kinship of Clover. It is published by Red Hen Press. And we should note that it's available everywhere, but the launch event will be happening at Odyssey Bookshop, and you can find out more information about the event by going to odysseybks.com. Odysseybks.com, Wednesday, April 5th at 7 o'clock in South Hadley, Massachusetts. The new novel, Kinship of Clover. Ellen Mirapol, it's always a delight to have you on the program. Thank you so much, and I hope when you're done with the new one, you'll come back and talk to us about that as well.
I will, of course. Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. OdysseyBKS.com for the launch event Wednesday, April 5th. Kinship of Clover is the new book by Ellen Mirapol, published by Red Hand Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.